Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive, a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. And we want to once again take time to thank you for joining with us today. You're being obedient to a scripture that many people see as an option and more as time goes on. And yet we're told as time goes on and we enter into the last days to forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another, building up one another, strongly encouraging one another to keep the faith. Amen. We need each other today. The hand never says to the foot, I have no need of thee. Now, there are some television ministries that are good. There's others that I cannot and will not ever recommend. But no matter how good the television minister and ministry is, it's not the same as interacting with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a body. We're not some fragmented group of individual Christians just doing our own thing and making our own way. We are designed to be interdependent upon one another. That's why the hand and the foot never disagree and never disassociate. So don't forsake going to church this morning. If you can't get to a church, thank you for coming here for the sermon. There are saints of God, true believers all over the world that come to the World Wide Web, and we pray wherever you are in the world that you will be blessed today. Amen. As we discuss a subject I love and embrace, love to teach, love to preach, Jesus, the Lion and the Lamb. Jesus, the Lion and the Lamb. As a lamb, the lion overcame and prevailed. In our behalf, a lamb did not become a lion, but the lion initially became a lamb. He was always the lion. The devil wasn't aware that this true lion was in a sheep's clothing. The devil, he should have been told, beware of a lion in sheep's clothing. That's exactly what Jesus did. He clothed himself in flesh and mortality as one of us without ever ceasing to be very God. So let's read about this today. Some lengthy reading, but I want to hurry and preach this sermon. I've already begun, as you can tell. Revelation 5, 1 through 10. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth. It's important, no man in heaven, or in the earth, or under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man, once again, underscore man, was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look upon thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it has been slain. Now he looked for a lion, because the lion, the powerful, mighty lion of the tribe of Judah, hath prevailed in our behalf. But in order to prevail in our behalf, the lion had to become a lamb. And all of the power of victory in our behalf is because the lion became a lamb. And as a lamb, he prevailed with strength as a lion. Listen to it carefully. There stood a lamb as it had been slain. That means a lamb that had been slaughtered, that had been, as we saw a goat that was slaughtered for a celebration in Haiti. They hung it upside down and cut its throat to bleed it out. And that in the lamb that was slaughtered, when the throat was cut and the blood gushed out and the crimson blood was juxtaposed over against the pure white wool. Friend of mine, he saw a recently slaughtered lamb, but he was talking just in the same breath about the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The lamb, clearly Jesus was God incarnate, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth in all the earth. And he came, took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 24 beasts, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one with them harps, golden vials, or bowls full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, incense. Listen, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. Now I want to back up here to kings and priests. This is a kingdom of priests. We are still, as highly elevated as we are through the redeeming blood of Christ, we are in the servant class, not in the ruling class. Don't think being a king means you can call all the shots without surrendering to God and becoming subservient to Him. Jesus, as a lamb, let this mind be in you, the scripture says, which was also in Christ the Lord, who thought it not robbery to be called equal with God. You see, he is indeed the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is indeed the mighty conquering King of kings and Lord of lords. But he took on himself the form of a servant and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. Listen, friend of mine, it is through that servant attitude, servant mind, that led him to say in the garden, Not my will, but thine be done. Listen, friend of mine, he could have called the armies of heaven, the myriads upon myriads of angels, to take him off of that cross, to keep him from going to that cross. But he endured all of it out of his great love for you and me. Don't let the devil make you think that being kings and priests unto God means we're anything more than a kingdom of priests, able to intercede, able to minister unto God, able to minister unto others. Oh, friend of mine, we're a kingdom of priests. We're in the servant class, serving God, not trying to be God and be in the ruling class. We'll make that clear today, because there's a real misconception and misunderstanding of what it means to be made kings and priests unto God. It's always in the servant class, and our mind should match his mind. Jesus was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he became a sacrifice lamb in our behalf in order to get victory for us. He didn't need victory for himself. All he had to do is sit upon his throne in heaven at the right hand of God, and all the victory there is would be his. But friend of mine, he came, he condescended, he came down, he took on himself the form of a servant. He was made like unto flesh and blood. He was God in flesh. But when John the Baptist saw him coming as a man, a Jewish man, from a Jewish mother, Immaculate Conception, yes, virgin born, yes, but born and had a flesh and blood body. But when John saw him, the revelation of God by the Spirit of God came to him, and he didn't say, "Behold, the great mighty healer, the great mighty prophet, the great mighty this or that." He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." How would he do that? By becoming a sacrifice lamb offered in our behalf, offering himself as both priest and sacrifice. In Revelation 5, 5 and 6, listen to what it says. "And one of the elders said unto me," I'm going to read it again, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals." There are many scholars of Scripture that believe this book represented the title deed to the earth that Adam forfeited when he bowed and obeyed through his wife, yes, but indirectly through her, but directly he obeyed the devil instead of God. And he forfeited that. And that's why a second Adam, a man, blew it, and a man had to get it back again. And Jesus became man, flesh and blood, that he, in our behalf, might become worthy to loose those seals that would bring judgment upon the earth, beginning of the cleansing of the earth for the wicked and the preparation of the earth for the eternal reign and rule of Christ and of the righteous. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to read that again. "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed." Prevailed for what reason? To open the book and to loose the seals thereof. "And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth." This lamb being offered up was very God. See, the Bible said, Jesus, second person of the Godhead, when he was on the cross, to wit, the Scripture said, God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. You see, in a moment, the lion has been transformed into a lamb, looking as if it had been slain. With one glance, he's a lion, and the next, he is a lamb. Then the next, he's a fierce, destroying lion, and the next, he's a slaughtered lamb. He is the irresistible might. Hallelujah. Simultaneously, he is the atoning mercy. All the living creatures and 24 elders know why he's been slaughtered, and they cry aloud to him, "With your blood, you have purchased men for God," in verse 9. Every time they see him, they know this, and they are surrounded by an innumerable company of angels. They too know why Jesus was slain, and they sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," in verse 12. They don't look in pity on the slain lamb. They are singing with a loud voice. I want to declare to you this morning, the central figure in the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. Most people go to the book of Revelation to find out who the Antichrist is and when he's going to come on the scene. That's what's so intriguing. And to see when the seals are opened, to see the plagues that are going to come. All of these apocalyptic events that are going to come upon the earth. But the book of Revelation doesn't become a revelation of plagues that are coming, judgments that are coming, and the Antichrist who's coming and the false prophet. All of that is in the book of Revelation. But the book of Revelation starts with these words. The book of Revelation that was given to John, the book of revelation, revelation being the unveiling. It's like taking a cover off of a painting that's never been seen yet, but now is going to be unveiled. That's what apocalyptic means. Apocalypse, that's what it means, an unveiling of something that was previously hidden. And the book of, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. He's in there. And he's not clearly revealed except that he is coming. He will be a man and Satan will use him like the Holy Spirit used Jesus. Praise God, and uses us. Listen, this revelation of Jesus is a revelation that we need today. John, on the Isle of Patmos, heard a voice behind him. And it was like a trumpet blast and like Niagara Falls in the force and power of it, like many waters flowing. He said, I turned to see this voice that spake unto me, and his hair was as wool, his eyes as a burning fire. He was girt about with a golden belt, and his feet were as burnished brass, and he had a robe, clothed with a robe down to the foot. Listen, and he saw Jesus like we've never maybe seen him, thought of him, or perceived him to be. Every artist's conception I've seen of Jesus, he's kind of pale and emaciated, and he looks like he could use some exercise and vitamin. But even if he was the best and the most powerful man, that does not represent the Jesus that is coming back, or the Jesus that as a lamb, a lion disguised as a lamb, a lion laying down his life like a lamb while never losing his true identity as the mighty lion of the tribe of Judah, the son of the living God, the second person of the Godhead, God incarnate, God in flesh. Make no mistake, this book is primarily, specifically, the revelation of Jesus Christ to Saint John the Divine. And that revelation began with the glorified Christ, resurrected, ascended, seated at the right hand of God till his enemies become his footstool. The Christ that is coming back will not be the Christ that rode into Jerusalem on his way to the cross on the back of a donkey. Amen. It will be the Christ riding upon the white horse, the white stallion, that white horse that the Antichrist is going to try to replicate when he comes, trying to be like God in every respect, while he's really 100% sold out to Satan. But when Jesus comes to rule and reign, he's coming on a white stallion. Hallelujah! The symbol of a conquering king. But he did it as a lamb, even though he was the lion. What held him to that cross? What held him? It had to be love for you and me. He was the lion, but he laid down and let them hurt him, let them beat him almost to death and take him to the cross. And the beating that he got in itself, where he said, I'm a worm and no man, prophetically back in the Psalms, where his visage was marred more than any man. Oh, when we saw him in that condition and then impaled upon that cross, there was nothing that we should desire him according to Isaiah 53. Nothing that we should desire him. It was repulsive to look upon him in that state of terrible, terrible torture. Listen, and we did consider him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Surely he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Praise God. All of us like sheep, the next verse says, has gone astray. And God hath laid on Him, as a sacrifice lamb, you see, the iniquity of us all. Therefore, I will appoint Him a portion with the great. You better believe it. God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name that is named, things in heaven, earth, beneath the earth, that at the sound of His name, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. By the way, should means they will do it. The devil's going to do it. The devil knows exactly who Jesus is. Devils believe and tremble at this great truth. They discovered that the lamb, the lion, was in a sheep's clothing. Had they known that, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Listen, the scripture said, if the kings of the earth, not just those people that rule politically or militarily over kingdoms, but these powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Listen, that's who we're arguing against. And if they had known that this lion was going to get turned loose, when this lamb was slain, all the power of this lion was going to get turned loose. Hallelujah. That's why the name of Jesus holds such power and such authority. Praise God. In my name, you'll tread on serpents. In my name, you'll cast out devils. In my name, you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise God. There's power in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. But it's the Jesus that has conquered, has prevailed, and overcome in our behalf. The central figure in the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. The title Lamb takes on special meaning and importance when it's applied to Jesus. It appears 29 times in the book of Revelation. Jesus overcame with the power of the lion because He became a lamb. Praise God. Revelation, I'm going to go through this. We take just a few minutes. I'm getting ready to close, but I want you to see Jesus like you've never seen Him before and take courage in your heart. He hath prevailed so that we can and will prevail. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, and it's our faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross in our behalf. Revelation 5 and verse 6, there stood a lamb. Revelation 5, 8, the 24 elders fall down before the lamb. Revelation 5, 12, angels join the elders. How many? 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying what? Worthy is the Lamb. See, Jesus is the Lamb, therefore He's still being focused upon as the central figure in the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That becoming a Lamb, He prevailed and overcame through His own shed blood. Hallelujah. Revelation 5:13. Amen. Blessing, glory, honor, and power unto the Lamb forever. Revelation 6:1. The Lamb opens one of the seals. Revelation 6:16. The wrath of the Lamb is mentioned. Revelation 7:19. Multitudes of ransomed souls stand before the Lamb. Revelation 7:10. The cry, salvation belongs to our God and unto the Lamb. Revelation 7:14 was their robe. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:17, the Lamb shall feed them. Revelation 12:11, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Are you still with me? Friend, I need to slow down, but I listen. Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 14:1, I looked for a lamb. And a lamb stood on Mount Zion with 144,000. Revelation 14:4, these are they which follow the Lamb. Hallelujah. And bring first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Revelation 14:10, wicked tormented in the presence of the Lamb. Revelation 15:3, victor sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. Revelation 17:14, the wicked make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb overcame them because He is Lord of Lords. Oh, hallelujah. You have on your shouting shoes. Do you own a pair of shouting shoes? Hallelujah. Listen, Revelation 19:7 speaks of the marriage of the Lamb is come. Revelation 19:9, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 21:9, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Revelation 21:14, the foundations of the city hath the names of the 12 apostles and the Lamb. I'm almost through. not preaching. I'm going to have to quit. That's all. Revelation 21:22. The city has no temple, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Revelation 21:23. The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Revelation 21:27. The Lamb's book of life. Revelation 22:1, crystal clear river flowing out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Revelation 22:3, the throne of God and of the Lamb. Praise God. John the Baptist called Jesus the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Peter declared, in 1 Peter, Peter declared, we were not redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb without spot or blemish. In Acts 8:32, he is a lamb dumb before his shearers. He opened not his mouth. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah 53:6-7. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. I'm so glad today that he prevailed. He prevailed to take the book. Prevail means he conquered in order to do it. We do not read of the Lamb taking the book before he died, only after he was slain and standing up on his feet, resurrected to never die again, do we read of him having prevailed to take the book. Praise God. And when we look and find a slain lamb standing up, why? He might have appeared like a little lamb, led to the slaughter, not saying anything, just like a lamb is led to its slayers. But through that utter weakness was such magnificent and glorious power, because through the ultimate surrender to death in our behalf came the ultimate victory of resurrection. And God is telling us that in weakness Christ conquered all in such mighty overcoming strength. Satan must have laughed himself sick when Jesus came into this world as an infant. And then this prophet allows himself to be taken and nailed to a Roman cross. He must have been hysterical. But then the little lamb did something that only a lion could do. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, marched into hell's headquarters of death, and through death destroyed him that had the power of death. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we read of him in Revelation 1 standing as victor. Revelation 1, 16 through 18. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, Fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. He fought this battle to redeem you and me, dear friend. And he prevailed. And because he overcame, his victory became our very own. I like in closing 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, dear friend of mine, it's time that God's people realize Jesus looked like a victim on the cross. And he was becoming victimized. He became the victim of our sin and its consequences in order to keep us from our sin and its consequences. As a lamb, he was crucified. But as a lion, he rose from the dead to reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise God. And dear friend of mine, when you go to the book of Revelation, there's a lot of stuff in there that is just beyond comprehension what is coming upon this world. But Jesus is standing as a lamb that overcame. And he did it all for you, and he did it all for me. Thank God you can be saved today. Thank God I can be saved today. Because the mighty lion laid down, appeared for all purposes as a lamb dumb before his shearers, opening not his mouth. The great lion, Aslan, in the portrayal of him in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe book, the lion, the mighty lion, is allowing them to kill him. How can this be? He doesn't have to do this. He has the power to stand and devour his foes. But he lays down and lets them, like a lamb sacrificed. Oh, but that lamb being sacrificed was and is and always will be the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lamb hath prevailed. Hallelujah. The lion prevailed because he became a lamb. And through him, we prevail. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the mighty lion laid down his life, became as a lamb, took your punishment, took your sin. Don't run from him. Run to him. He has the power to forgive your sin. and keep you from the enemy until he comes.